My friends, would you please stand as we read the Lord's Word at this time? Again, I will read verses 1 through 16 here in 2 Peter chapter 2. But false prophets also arose among the people, just as there will also be false teachers among you who will secretly introduce destructive heresies, even denying the master who bought them, bringing swift destruction upon themselves. Many will follow their sensuality, and because of them, the way of the truth will be maligned. And in their greed, they will exploit you with false words. Their judgment from long ago is not idle, and their destruction is not asleep. For if God did not spare angels when they sinned, but cast them into hell and committed them to pits of darkness reserved for judgment, and did not spare the ancient world, but preserved Noah, a preacher of righteousness, with seven others, when he brought a flood upon the world of the ungodly, and if he condemned the cities of Sodom and Gomorrah to destruction by reducing them to ashes, having made them an example to those who would live ungodly lives thereafter, and if he rescued righteous Lot, oppressed by the sensual conduct of unprincipled men, for by what he saw and heard, that righteous man, while living among them, felt his righteous soul tormented day after day by their lawless deeds, then the Lord knows how to rescue the godly from temptation, and to keep the unrighteous under punishment for the day of judgment, and especially those who indulge the flesh in its corrupt desires and despise authority. Daring, self-willed, they do not tremble when they revile angelic majesties, whereas angels who are greater in might and power do not bring a reviling judgment against them before the Lord. But these, like unreasoning animals, born as creatures of instinct, to be captured and killed, reviling where they have no knowledge, will in the destruction of those creatures also be destroyed. Suffering wrong as the wages of doing wrong, they count it a pleasure to revel in the daytime. They are stains and blemishes, reveling in their deceptions as they carouse with you. Having eyes full of adultery, they never cease from sin, enticing unstable souls, having a heart trained in greed, accursed children, forsaking the right way, they have gone astray, having followed the way of Balaam, the son of Beor, who loved the wages of unrighteousness. But he received a rebuke for his own transgression, for a mute donkey, speaking with the voice of a man, restrained the madness of the prophet. This is the Lord's word. Please be seated. Again, Lord, we thank you for this day and pray again that your blessing be on your word as it goes forward. I pray for the outpouring of your spirit and ask for your blessing again in Christ's name. Amen. We have now entered 2 Peter chapter 2 into a lengthy section on the false teacher. And I've only read through verse 16 because it just continues to go on about the false teacher. Clearly, this is a problem for the church. And Peter, as he's writing about the false teacher, he speaks about who he or she, bear in mind that there are many false women teachers as well, he speaks about who they are, what they do, how they affect the church, and their ultimate doom, as we've gotten a glimpse so far. And Peter is writing here to warn the church about them because they are real. They are a real problem, and they really do bring damage to the church. Again, Peter is writing to the church because he is concerned that these saints to whom he writes make it to heaven. We have a false notion that goes around, and I've heard it once, I've heard it 1,000 times, I'm sure you've heard the same thing as well. I'm not under law, but under grace. That's actually a Bible verse, you understand, part of a Bible verse, Romans 6:14, but it is misapplied. It's a misapplied Bible verse. Isn't that interesting how false prophets always work like the devil? Rip a verse out of context and misapply it. That's my problem with the Jeremiah 29:11, is that it's applied. Or I can do all things in Christ, which means I can sink a three-pointer every time. And I've heard these scriptures used this way, and I think it's very dangerous when we use these verses or misuse these verses to achieve the ends that we want. So we hear this notion that I'm not under law, but under grace. Again, misinterpreted. And what this means is I am allowed to do what I want, when I want, however I want, because I said the prayer, and therefore I'm under grace, and no one can say or do anything against me. That's the popular notion that's going through and is in, has inundated the Lord's church in the United States. Many people sit in churches, maybe even here, falsely assured that because they said a prayer and they live however they want, that they're okay. And you may be saying to me, well, that's what I believe. And that's why I'm standing up here saying, I know. And that's why I'm addressing it. That's why Peter has written this. And precisely why you need to beware. Because the threat of false teachers is not only a possibility, but the reality of the American church. Gary Larson, in his Far Side Comics, has a wonderful comic. It was picked up in Jurassic Park. You remember where they're trying to drive away from the T-Rex that's chasing them in the Jeep. And they look in the mirror, and it says, objects are closer than they appear. And there's a T-Rex head right there in the mirror. And I think sometimes we look at false teachings and false doctrines and say, oh, it's just back there somewhere. Friends, I'm telling you, it's right here. The T-Rex is in the sanctuary with us. The T-Rex is coming over the radio waves. It's coming over the podcasts. The false teachers aren't a thing that are distantly removed. They're here among us. I read to you last week from Colossians 1, 21 through 23, and I'd like you to hear these verses again. Paul writes, and although you were formerly alienated and hostile in mind, engaged in evil deeds, yet he has now reconciled you in his fleshly body through death, in order to present you before him holy and blameless and beyond reproach. And then listen to this conditional clause. If indeed you continue in the faith firmly established and steadfast, and not moved away from the hope of the gospel that you have heard, which was proclaimed in all creation under heaven, and of which I, Paul, was made a minister. There's a reality that we must take to heart, and that's the reality is that it is possible for the quote-unquote Lord's people to be moved away from the hope of the gospel, to be led astray. They stopped following, demonstrating that they never had true faith, and were never really part of the church as they went out from the church, would say John in 1 John 2:19. But remember Peter's goal. He says it in verses 10 and 11 of chapter 1. Therefore, brethren, be all the more diligent to make certain about his calling and choosing you. For as long as you practice these things, you will never stumble. For in this way, the entrance into the eternal kingdom of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ, will be abundantly supplied to you. Peter's goal is to see the Christian finish the race. To see you enter into the eternal kingdom of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. How? How does it happen? We are to be like those who pay attention to a lamp shining in a dark place. When we listen to the prophetic word until the day of the Lord Jesus, or the day that we die, that is how the Christian is kept on that course. That's how we are kept steadfast, by listening and heeding to the word of God, by not going off and listening to the false doctrines, the false teachers who are saying all these things. Hence, I call to mind to you the fact that we've all been hearing these prophets prophesy in our day. All these sorts of things. It's amazing to me, even yesterday at the march, we hear about Our Lady who's prophesied back in the 1940-something, and we're supposed to go by these prophecies. What do you say to these things? How do you answer these things? You say, what does the Word of God say? And well, we pay attention to this Word, and we should pay attention to this Word. It's what shapes our attitudes. It's what guides and directs us. Sadly, it will not be the only voice to which we are exposed. And Peter has warned his readers. And that warning, friends, is for us. He says it again, verse 1. But false prophets also arose among the people, just as there will also be false teachers among you who will secretly introduce destructive heresies, even denying the master who bought them, bringing swift destruction upon themselves. The false teachers are among us. They're in the church today. They introduce these destructive heresies, and they do so secretly, craftily. They destroy not only themselves, but those who would follow them. For as they worm their way into our hearts and minds and our wallets, they lead you away from life in Jesus Christ to death. Now, you may think me a panic. You may think me one who worries too much, that I'm too excited. That will never happen to me, you say. It will never even happen to most. Do you ever suppose that we are incredibly naive or unbelievably arrogant? That when the scripture says something and gives a warning, and we sit there and say, never happened to me. I could never see that happening to myself. The word of God says, be careful. The apostle Peter, as he's writing the word of God, says this: many will follow their sensuality, and because of them, the way of the truth will be maligned. He says, many will. It's not probably, it's not a might be. He says, many will. Many will follow their sensuality, and because of them, the way of the truth will be maligned. And he's not speaking of the pagan world, which is already lost and blinded and sitting in darkness. To whom is he referring? He's referring to the church. Many from the church will follow the sensuality of these false teachers. Still think you shouldn't be careful? I bet you, friends, I bet you that every one of us has those demonic doctrines rattling around in our heads, and I bet you this, that you're not even aware of it. In Sunday school, we're speaking of Vanity Fair. How many of you have stepped off the King's Highway and are dabbling in the markets of Vanity Fair, thinking, this is where my life is really found? It's not on the King's Highway. It's in the marketplace of the world. When he says many, friends, he means it will be no small problem that faces the church, as it will not be a person here or there that are affected by these false teachers, but there will be many, numerous people, in spite of the warnings, who do not listen to the scriptures nor to faithful biblical instruction, but they follow the sensuality. They follow their sensuality. Who is he speaking about? He's speaking about the sensuality of the false teachers. That people, we listen to these false teachers, we listen to the things, that the messages that are saying, and we comply with them, we yield to them, their teaching, and their examples. Why? Because the things that they teach are really easy and natural, fleshly. It feels right. I can't tell you. And again, it's one of these things where we have emphasized, overemphasized the importance of our feelings. We've overemphasized the importance of our feelings, and we make our feelings the arbiter of what we're going to do with our life rather than the Word of God. So when the Word of God says, don't forsake the assembling of yourselves together, you say, but you know, I just feel like I need some, what's the latest phrase? Personal time, or what's the phrase that they use now? Some me time, some ministry me time, or it's something wonky, because these people are saying, I have to minister to me now, and I don't really need church. I've got to do this thing. It's in the church. When he speaks about that which is sensual, or the NIV says, uses the word shameful, these are things relating to or consisting in the gratification of the senses or the indulgence of the appetite. One commentator said that it's all types and all manner of excesses and extremes of immorality that are being referred to. And certainly sexual immorality and sexual excesses and extremes are included, but not only those things. It would be living in a way to satisfy your lusts, finding your fulfillment in this world and in its pleasures. These false teachers teach and live for the here and now, for this life. And again, as was brought out in Sunday school, we want to be very careful because we could get into this ascetic mindset and say, marriage is bad, eating is bad, I should go sit on a pole, and I should just wait until Jesus comes and takes me home, as they did in the medieval church. That's not what Peter is saying. He's not speaking about sex in the confines of marriage as a bad thing. That's actually a good thing, and you should, married couples, enjoy the gift that God gives us. He's not saying that it's wrong to eat apple pie. He's not saying it's wrong to make money. He's not saying it's wrong to buy cars. What he is saying is that these false teachers emphasize the things of this world to the neglect or the absence of the Lord himself. And many people in the church will do the same thing. We've got our focus on all of these things, all on the wrong things. They teach and encourage the opposite of what the Lord says. As I was thinking about examples of this, because I hate just bringing up these things and then not giving you examples. Many of you lived or were old enough to remember the 80s. You remember the 80s with the scandals that rocked the church. Jimmy Swaggart, Oral Roberts, Jim and Tammy Faye Baker. I looked up Heritage USA. Do you remember that? Heritage USA, third largest theme park in attendance in the United States back in the 80s. Started in 1978, second only to Disney World and Disneyland. This was the Christian theme park, the place you could go and feel good about being robbed. Listen to what they had. 501 room Grand Hotel. They had their own Main Street, USA, an indoor shopping complex, the Heritage Village Church, because we want to feel good about being robbed, right? The upper room, a 400-unit campground, the Jerusalem Amphitheater, conference facilities, the King's Castle, a skating rink, prayer and counseling services, cable television production studios, Bible and evangelism school, visitor retreat housing, staff and volunteer housing, timeshares, and the Heritage Island Water Park and recreational facilities. It was massive what they were doing. Heritage USA was massive. And you remember Jim Baker got into trouble selling timeshares because he actually sold more than he could fulfill. But there was also another problem. He was unfaithful sexually to his wife, and he cheated with a woman. Now, am I saying it's wrong to go to a theme park? I'm not saying it's wrong to go to a theme park, so don't hear me say that. Do you find that there's a problem when a minister of the gospel is creating theme parks and shopping centers and malls and is making money? He had the air-conditioned dog houses. That's the church. But you see, that was the reputation the church was having. Look at us. We're the evangelicals. We're the popular people. We're the ones who are doing these things. Look at all that we've got. What in the world was the church doing in creating an amusement park? What in the world was the church doing in feeding the flesh? And it's not a new thing. We could go back to the indulgences that were sold in Rome for building St. Peter's Basilica. Here they're taking money, indulgences, couching things in biblical terminology. You know, because who wants to see their loved ones burn in hell? So I'll give money so that the Pope can live in a more popish style, so that we can build one of the most lavish buildings in the history of the world? Or what about all the charlatans on radio and television today saying to you, send in your money and God will bless you? Or the rock and roll churches saying, help us spread this message around the world? You know Hillsong, and you've seen the things that have gone on with that, and how their ministers are guilty of sexual, and not just one, but multiple different women with these men. I offer these as examples, some, but there are countless others throughout the ages. Many followed this sensuality. Christianity is fun. Can't you tell how hip we are? I was surprised Derek Thomas mentioned skinny jeans, even back in 2013. Because this seems to be the thing. If we want the church to grow, we have to look hip and relevant. They have to present a message that appears credible to the world. And speaking about a God who is just and holy, a God who creates things out of, that's just not going to sell. You got to talk about a God who's there to meet your felt needs, to help you in your life with your children. You see, friends, the result, as Peter says, because of this, because of these people following the sensuality of these teachers, the way of the truth will be maligned. Not only because of the false teachers, mind you, but also because of those who follow the false teachers. The way of the truth will be maligned, says Peter, spoken of in an ill and derogatory fashion, spoken of as evil. PTL, which originally meant praise the Lord, the joke was, pay that lady. Ha ha. What a shame. What a shame. Christians all of a sudden got the reputation, and pastors in particular, are those who just care about money. Don't talk to me. You're just trying to get into my world so that you can put your fingers on my wallet. That's the reputation. Pastors have reputations for running off with women. You know what that does for the good pastor, the pastors who fear the Lord and don't run off with women? It makes the word going forward that much more difficult. It's gotten to the point where I'm almost afraid to tell people I'm a pastor because I lose any ability to speak about the things of the Lord. You think I'm exaggerating. I'm not. The last thing anyone wants to hear, or the last person anyone wants to hear from anymore, is a pastor. The credibility of the church and her message are called into question. Sure, they say they care about heaven, but they'll live like there is no tomorrow. Have you heard these things? I think you have. Let me ask you this. Have you contributed to these things? Do people look at your life and listen to your words and think well of Christ and his church? Or do they say, after meeting with you, ick? I want nothing to do with those fakes and hypocrites. Remember what Peter said in 1 Peter 2. Beloved, I urge you as aliens and strangers to abstain from fleshly lusts which wage war against the soul. Keep your behavior excellent among the Gentiles, so that in the thing in which they slander you as evildoers, they may, because of your good deeds, as they observe them, glorify God in the day of visitation. These false teachers and godless lifestyles have hurt our witness in this world. Because we wanted to be respected by men and have bigger, more successful churches and not to be viewed as being churchy or backwards, the quest to be relevant has stifled our voice in our nation. The quest to be relevant has stifled the voice of the church in this nation. A pastor told me, the first pastor I served under told me one day, he said, I feel sorry for guys coming into the ministry today. I think he was talking about me. He said, I feel sorry for guys coming into the ministry today because for the past, at that time, he said 30 years, the church has virtually coasted. Riding along the reputation that had been established for hundreds of years prior, he says, and now the guys coming in today are going to have an uphill battle the entire way. Well, friends, that's not just for pastors. That's for all of you as well. It is. We have to be extra careful how we carry ourselves. We have to be extra careful what we say and how we live to avoid any appearance of evil, to guard our mouths, to watch how we treat our neighbors who are unregenerate, the waitress at the restaurant, that we tip them appropriately, that we're not crude or nasty to them. I mean, these are small things, greeting the cashier. When the world is dour, we are filled with hope, even though we acknowledge that there are some terrible things going on. These false teachers, what about them? Do they care? They don't care. They don't care about Jesus Christ, and they don't care about you. They care only about themselves. They don't care about the soul, the gospel of salvation, and that people turn away from sin to look in faith to Christ. You know what you are to the false teacher? You are the new Mercedes. You are to them that Gulf Stream. You are to them a second or a third home. You are to them lavish trips. You are to them extravagant lifestyles. False teachers, says Peter, exploit the church. And in their greed, he says, they will exploit you with false words. They are not about preparing people to stand before the Lord. Their bottom line is the bottom line. What can I get out of these people? They are motivated by greed. This is not a statement here about providing for your pastor, just very briefly. Paul said, if we sowed spiritual things in you, is it too much if we reap material things from you? You shall not muzzle the ox while he is threshing. These false teachers make the church and the people of the church, the gospel, a commercial venture. They see a way of turning a buck on the back of others. They see people in the church, and what do they see? They see dollar signs. That's what they see. And we've experienced this. We've seen this very thing in our own town. We have seen this very thing take place. They are unlike Timothy, who we are told about, who would be genuinely concerned for the welfare of the church, whose interests were those of Christ Jesus. Timothy was not wrapped up in himself. These false teachers are unlike the Apostle Paul, who did not consider his life of any account as dear to himself, so that he might finish his course and the ministry which he had received from the Lord Jesus to testify solemnly of the gospel of the grace of God. These false teachers are not like the apostles, who were hungry, thirsty, poorly clothed, roughly treated, and homeless, who toiled and worked with their own hands, who were reviled, persecuted, and slandered, who had become as the scum of the world, the dregs of all things. That's the apostles. That's what Paul would write of how the apostles were treated, and these false teachers are unlike the Son of God. For we are told of our Savior that the foxes have holes and the birds of the air have nests, but the Son of Man has nowhere to lay his head. And yet these charlatans would tell you, well, as God's ambassador, you would expect a servant of the Almighty to live in riches. I'm still looking for that Bible verse. And I don't see it. But I see those who are caught up in the Lord is looking at this world more and more at a distance and saying, yeah, I understand. I need to fix this or I need to do that. But it's not my life. It's not what my life consists of, being wrapped up in these things. These false teachers are not like the apostles. And they're not like our Lord. They exploit the Lord's people with false words. Exploit means to take advantage of or to make use of someone for personal gain. How do they exploit you? He says, they exploit you with false words. One commentator said, they enter the Christian community with fabricated stories that unsuspicious believers accept as truth. Again, pulling from the scandals of the 80s, and we can find this today, and again, I caution you, when people say, well, I'm a prophet and the Lord told me, you open your Bible and you say, please show me where it says this. Show me where it says this. Remember Oral Roberts? 1987. He gets on the television. He says, if his supporters do not send donations totaling $8 million within 3 months, he warned that God would call me home. And his supporter sent in $9 million. And guess what? Oral Roberts lived. True stories. Imagine false teachers using false words, false stories, false narratives, playing on the sympathies of well-meaning people. Using phrases like God told me or God said when he hadn't. Using the phrase the Lord said. But they aren't quoting the scriptures, nor are they applying the scriptures. Again, Jesus warned, beware of false prophets. who come to you in sheep's clothing, but inwardly are ravenous wolves. You will know them by their fruits. Grapes are not gathered from thorn bushes, nor figs from thistles, are they? So every good tree bears good fruit, but the bad tree bears bad fruit. A good tree cannot produce bad fruit, nor can a bad tree produce good fruit. And then he says in verse 19, every tree that does not bear good fruit is cut down and thrown into the fire. My friends, we look for the Lord's men to speak truth, who promote trust and obedience to this word. That's what you are to live by. That's what you are to listen to, and not the false prophets who rise up in the ranks of the church, professing to be the Lord's men or women, saying, I've got a vision, I've got a word. And they go on with these demonic things. Be very careful what you listen to. You stay in the word. Those people who rise up claiming God are out to enrich themselves and to advance their own names and their own reputations. Turn away from them. Get away from them. Of this you may be quite certain, that the Lord is going to judge them. For they used his name, they said they had his truth, and they make use of his people to care for themselves. I would not want to be next to them on judgment day. And this is what the Lord says. And this is where, as Peter unfolds this, he's making this abundantly plain about these false teachers, that they will be dealt with harshly, they will be dealt with severely. And friends, don't make the mistake of thinking that you will be exempt if you follow in their footsteps. False teachers promote this life and living here and now, and they indulge their flesh, and they encourage you to do the very same. And they're out and about, telling us that obedience to the Lord, don't make such a big deal about that. You don't want to scare people off with your rigorous Christianity. This is the kind of voice that is in the church. These are the kinds of voices I fear that we hear all the time. Belittling obedience, belittling worshiping the Lord, belittling going to church, belittling these things that the Lord calls good. Why would we agree with that? We shouldn't. And they're everywhere. That's what I'm concerned about, that these false teachers, they're not just one. There are seminaries cranking out these kinds of people teaching these kinds of things. And I say, you know a tree by its fruit. What's the fruit of the American church today? What's become of our nation? We just watched probably the most godless administration put into office this past week. How did that happen? Why isn't it that judges and people don't care about facts? I'll tell you why. Because there's no fear of God in their eyes. We've become a nation of people who fear people rather than fear the Lord. And the church has bought into this, and that's why we've become silent. And hell is burning, and people are going to hell, and we're going to sit cozily by while they die. Because it's more important to us to have people think we're nice than be truthful. We got to stop. Got to come back to the word, because judgment is coming. He says, they will be dealt with harshly and severely, and I encourage you and urge you, friends, don't follow after them. We sometimes think these individuals, charlatans and hucksters, will get away with their deceptions, but they won't. In fact, they've already been judged. The Lord is not blind to their misdeeds. Simon Kistemacher said this, and I thought it was especially helpful. He says, the words Peter adopts are derived from the courtroom. God is the judge who hands down the verdict. The verdict that God has rendered is ultimate destruction of the guilty party. These teachers who have received God's verdict are like prisoners on death row. Their condemnation is hanging over them. That's the end of the false teacher. So, my friends, we do need to be very careful. We need to be very careful to whom we listen and to whom we follow. if the day should come that this pastor is not faithful to this word, you need to ask for my resignation. By God's grace, I've been faithful to this word, I believe. And I think it's been attested to by the leaders in this church. At least I hope the leaders will attest to this. Certainly the presbyteries have, that I've been examined in repeatedly, and I bring you this word, and I strive to be faithful to it. If men don't strive to be faithful to this word, you should have nothing to do with them. Walk away and say, that's not what the Bible says. If it does, I would like you to show me. And I would like you to show me in the context of the verses that you're using, rather than just ripping a verse out of context. You understand, friends, that's not the way we approach the Bible. Again, we've had Sunday school classes on this, how to faithfully approach the scriptures, the hermeneutics, how do we interpret things. We don't just pull Bible verses and stick a Bible verse that seems to fit really neat. We look at the whole context. Out of where is this verse pulled, and what's it instructing us in? Then, you see, then we have the Word of God. To do that, you need to be in your Bibles. I'm going to keep beating that one again this year. Be in your Word. Be in the Word. Read the Scriptures. Read it again and again until you become so familiar with it. You recognize what's going on like you do your own wrinkles in your face. Should become an old friend to you. Be very careful. As we will see, there is a long history recorded for us establishing this fact that the wicked will die in their wickedness. And so will those who follow them in their wickedness. But for those who look to Jesus Christ and rest in him and are steadfast, they receive eternal life. Let's pray. We thank you, Lord, again for your word, and pray that you would help us to take this warning and this caution to heart as we are reminded that there are many false prophets and many people will follow the sensuality of these people who promote living for here and now and who belittle godliness, who belittle righteousness and obedience, who make fun of these things and call it backwards and churchy and awkward and all those sorts of things, nonsense. We ask, Father, that we would esteem your word, that your voice would carry weight in our souls more than any other voice, and that we will fear you and walk in your way, like Christian, who would stay to the king's highway, or like faithful, who would stay to the king's highway and would not become absorbed with this world. We ask, O Lord, for your grace to be upon us, and now for our brother and sister as they would take upon them the vows of membership. Bless us now, we pray, in Jesus' name. Amen.